The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Dennis O'Hare here in your feed this week with an extra helping of political breakfast. Now, you may have heard there's an election coming up May 22nd, primary elections. Georgians will head to the polls to pick the Republican and Democratic candidates who will compete to be the state's next governor. And in advance of the primaries, I'm sitting down with all of the major party candidates to talk about their visions for the state. Check our podcast feed for those interviews. And this is the final one with Republican Mark Urbach. He's an historical writer and speaker who lives in Dunwoody. He's a former public school teacher in Gwinnett County, and he ran for president in 2016 as a write-in candidate. Mr. Urbach, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Dennis. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, you ran for president, as we just mentioned, as a write-in candidate, and you have often talked about the dangers of political parties. You've even cited the warning in George Washington's farewell address about political parties. So why now suddenly try to win the nomination of the party that currently controls every statewide office and holds majorities in both the House and Senate?
The reason why I'm running for governor, because this government, both parties, they hide behind the R&D, but they're really a bunch of oligarchs, one cabal that have enslaved and oppressed us. And as your governor, Urbach, we will use the courts to clean out and drain the swamp.
We'll get to that in a second, sure. But why try to do that via the Republican Party, which, as we mentioned, controls the governor's mansion right now and both houses and every statewide office?
Thank you. I wanted to run as an independent. It's almost impossible to run and win as an independent. If I had declared an independent 9 months ago, I would not have been invited to any of the Republican gubernatorial forums, debates, and I would not have been allowed or invited to speak at the Republican county meetings monthly. I've spoken to over 10. So we have a decision to make here in Georgia. You vote according to Exodus 18:21. A man and woman who fear God, who hate covetousness, who take their oath to God in state and country very seriously.
So you're saying you needed the platform in order to get your ideas out.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have talked about eliminating the state income tax. You also have called for spending on a very big transportation effort, a high-speed monorail that would link cities all over the state. You're calling for big cuts in how much the state takes in. How do you balance that?
Okay, it's a very good question. I am trying with my attorney right now. We are trying to use the grand jury, the fourth branch of government, because the General Assembly and Board of Regents have sucked up billions and billions and billions of all dollars, and they give it to their friends in the higher education committees. If I can get to the grand jury.
Yeah, how does the Board of Regents have to, what does that have to do with transportation?
I want to get the money out and fund K through 12 properly, and transportation dollars are already there. They're trying to push MARTA, a failed financial system, into the entire state. I have a solution. The high-speed silver bullet monorail system, 220 miles an hour, okay, fully funded with the money they already have. And if the citizens want to raise their own taxes to help us pay for this high-speed monorail system, they will. Because if the traffic's this bad now, can you imagine how bad it's going to be in 5 to 10 years?
Let's continue on the expense for a moment. Do you have any idea how much this would cost?
Yes. I have all the documents in front of you. The website is
W. Yeah, but the listeners don't have it in front of me. So tell everybody
about part of the money is already in the General Assembly. That's why I'm trying to use the courts to get the money out of the General Assembly so we can fund a lot of things properly, like transportation and K through 12. The documents, I have not read every single one of them, but it's a lot more cost effective than MARTA. MARTA has approximately 3,000 employees right now. That's our money. It's a failed financial system. The high-speed silver bullet monorail system is much cheaper, it's much faster and safer and efficient, and it brings happiness because it's going to increase jobs and the safety of Georgians will be able to get to cities faster.
There's also the practical question, though. If you're talking about just a monorail system, that may get people from Atlanta to Savannah. But how does it get them to the jobs they might have that might be at a pretty good distance from a monorail station, what they often call last-mile connectivity? How does your plan even include that?
Okay. I'm not getting rid of MARTA. We have a choice. The solution to this massive traffic problem is a big future plan. See, I think common sense and out of the box with the silver bullet train. We can continue to use MARTA. We can continue to build roads, but we must do what's the future for Georgia, and that's a high-speed monorail system. See, the politicians are politicians. Why didn't they do it? Because they do not put the people first. Team Urbeck does. I've put my neck out. We have a choice to make here in Georgia. We can plan for the future, for our children's future, their future, or we're going to crawl on the highways and let them try to push their failed MARTA into the whole state, and we have to pay for it.
Where would you increase state spending?
K through 12 education. But let me just tell folks, money does not solve anything, especially in education.
No, but it's hard to solve. You're a former teacher, you know.
Right.
Certainly money doesn't solve all problems in education, but it's hard to solve them without it.
That's correct. Now, when I taught at Norcross High School from 2006 to 2012, approximately 3,000 students, I believe there was only 8 or 9 guidance counselors. That is unacceptable. The caseload, the workload, the paper is ridiculous for them, and it's terrible for teachers too. So we got to get the billions of dollars out of the higher education, the universities, where the presidents are paid more than President Trump on average, and properly fund K through 12. I also have a huge plan to build 3 types of things for Georgians to create jobs and opportunities for all Georgians.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. But
let's talk about where the money would come from the universities. Would it just come from administrative salaries, which you've already said that, in your view, are way too high? But no matter how much you cut a president or a dean's salary, that's not going to cover funding K through 12 education.
That is true, but I do know there's 2 sets of books, Dennis. There's 2 sets of books. These boys and girls down at the Gold Dome are oligarchs, liars and deceivers. So we need to get work with the federal administration. When I call President Trump, President Trump, this is Governor Urbeck. How are you? God bless you for doing what you're doing to keep this republic together. We need to work together with state funds, federal funds, and the most important thing that no one will think about, because these are politicians. And as a statesman, I think to the people who can fund this state immediately, and that's a man like Philip Anschus, worth $15 billion at the Sea Island Cloister Hotel. He has an opportunity, just like all the billionaires of America. I mean, he's poor compared to Jeff Bezos' $115 billion. Those billionaires have been sucking up the profits from their corporations. They have a duty and obligation to put their money back into the states, back into the country that made them so wealthy.
So you're asking super wealthy people in Georgia to basically
help,
to use the biblical principle. You're asking them to tithe to the state? Could that be a way of looking at it?
Exactly. There's a Deuteronomy 24:14. You are not allowed to oppress the working man amongst the Jew and non-Jew in your community. Michael Bloomberg was worth approximately, as an example, Michael Bloomberg was worth approximately only $15 million in 1980.
You're talking about the former mayor
right,
of New York City.
Right. When I was 13 years old, I was 1980. Ronald Reagan was president. Now Bloomberg is worth approximately $50 billion. That's quite remarkable. These men, whether it's Jeff Bezos, Buffett, the Koch brothers, Larry Ellison, Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they pay their employees roughly whatever a good salary. But at the end of the year, those employees may not only have 1 to 2 kids, and they don't have enough money for all the food and vacations. But the General Assembly has enslaved Georgians, and we need to get to the billionaires, and they need to give tithe, like you said, Dennis, back to the state of Georgia for Georgians.
Let me ask you a bit about what you said about the frontline educators, the teachers. You said workloads for teachers and guidance counselors are huge. Part of that is because of class sizes. Some years ago, Governor Barnes managed to pass a bill that said class sizes will be limited by law at this level. It was never really enforced in every classroom because there were waivers that were passed every year because schools said, we don't have the space, we don't have the money for this. In order to reduce that workload, would you go back to that approach and say, we're going to mandate maximum class sizes?
As a former teacher, I learned a lot. It's common sense will solve everything in education. Common sense. We have thousands of retirees that live around the schools, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school, and the colleges. Thousands of veterans, too. They're sitting in their homes. We need leaders in every level of education. And as your governor, I'm a huge leader. We need leaders in the superintendents, okay, and the principals and the teachers and the parents need to step up and be leaders. You get your butt into the classroom and volunteer to help that teacher out. You volunteer to stand at the doorway that surrounds the schools. I'm talking security. You veterans, I know you're old. I know your health isn't that good, but you volunteer immediately and you secure those schools for safety 24/7. And if the citizens of the counties want to raise their own taxes and provide monies and salaries for these volunteers, so be it. It's about time that parents get their act together and talk with their children 30 minutes a day and volunteer for the schools, and let's make it happen together for our children.
But where would you put them?
Oh,
I mean, there are many schools that are stuck for space at the moment.
Okay, that's a good question. So it's an overload of students, okay, because the General Assembly is hoarding billions of our dollars. We need to get the money and build schools. So there's build more schools. That means the overflow students can go to the new schools. It's a common sense principle.
Where are they hoarding the billions? You mentioned the university system.
Right.
You say that's where some of it is. Where are they hoarding the billions of dollars if not in the university system?
When I get into the grand jury court of any county in this state, my attorney has all the documents, the internal documents of what happened at Georgia Permanent College. Those boys and girls in the Gold Dome, my opponents, the other candidates, they can get the documents in a second. I don't have the accessibility to get the internal government documents. They do. Citizens of Georgia, you ask your representatives, where is this information? Where is all the money going? They need to tell us.
Just to clarify, Georgia Perimeter College some years ago experienced a big budget shortfall and got into big trouble with the regents because of that. It cost the president of Georgia Perimeter his job. But are you saying that every university is underreporting how much money it receives?
I know the facts about Georgia Perimeter College. That's Mr. Tricoli, the president, and my attorney, Stephen Humphreys. They set him up. They were feeding him financial forms showing there was proper money, positive money. In reality, there was not. And when it came time, they basically said, you're fired or resign and remove. But Stephen Humphreys has all the internal documents, all the emails proving the truth. And Stephen has tried for 5 years to get to the grand jury, to get to the courtroom. And wicked judges and DAs are blocking him illegally with fake laws, fake accusations, and pushing him back. They would not allow me to file my legal petitions to use the grand jury, to get into the grand jury, to expose the cabal called the General Assembly.
When you have lawmakers from both parties, leaders would tell you they can't organize in a caucus. How can you say they've managed to orchestrate a conspiracy of this size?
I don't call it a conspiracy. What they do is they lie, deceive, and manipulate the truth. I've been down to the General Assembly, the Gold Dome, many, many times the past 9 months. Example, I submitted my Religious Freedom Bill. Religious Freedom Bill CS, Common Sense 101. It's already federal law. It was written by Thomas Jefferson, signed by President Washington. It's part of our Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance. Not one rep has contacted my office. All the secretaries lied. So what I'm getting at is, Dennis,
the Northwest Ordinance wasn't part of the Constitution. It was a separate piece of legislation.
I don't want to get constitutional, but it is part of the Constitution, one of our four organic laws. Okay, it's part of the Constitution. It's federal law. So what I'm getting at is the liars and deceivers, these oligarchs, they've oppressed us and enslaved us. The key is to get to the grand jury. I will expose, and my attorney will expose everything. We will not just drain the swamp. We will clean the swamp. But jobs are important in this state. And as your governor, we together, we the people of Georgia, the first branch of government, we will keep Georgia number one for business, and Georgia beef is what's for dinner. We will double our agriculture production under Governor Urbach. It's a common sense principle. Hemp you, Monsanto, go spray yourself. Every farmer in Georgia can easily surround their field with hemp, sell the hemp for all the clothing, and listen to this, Dennis, all the walls of every home built in Georgia, America, can be made with hemp. It's solid as a rock, and we need to hemp our farms. No more cancer here in Georgia. It's unacceptable what companies like Monsanto have done by spraying our food. Citizens of Georgia, do not accept the fact that you and your children get cancer and you want to Band-Aid it, because farmers under Governor Urbach will hemp their fields, and Monsanto, go spray yourself.
Let me ask you this, though, because you've talked a couple of times about going to the grand jury. How would you do that? Would you do that yourself? You mentioned your attorney. And can you just approach a grand jury under state law?
Every person in Georgia has a United States constitutional right and a Georgia constitutional right. It's right here, Dennis. Here's the Georgia Constitution.
You're talking paragraph 12 of the Georgia Constitution.
Paragraph 12. Let me read it real quick. It's a 10-second read. And
it says, no person shall be deprived of the right to prosecute or defend either in person or by an attorney that person's own cause in any of the courts of the state.
Thank you, Dennis. And the cabal, the wicked judges and wicked DAs are illegally denying my attorney's rights and me from using the grand jury in criminal proceedings against government officials. They are illegally blocking me.
But isn't there another state law that says the chief judge of the superior court of any county to which this part applies on his or her own motion, and we'll skip some of this, or on the petition of any elected official of the county or municipality may request the judges of the superior court to impanel a special grand jury for the purpose of investigating violations of the law, because that's what you're talking about, a special grand jury.
What you just read, Dennis.
It doesn't say anything about everybody in the county being able to go to a grand jury.
The General Assembly, the liars and deceivers, usurped the Georgia Constitution with a special term called a special grand jury. They have no right under the Georgia Constitution to even do that. They're liars and deceivers and usurping the person's rights. They cannot usurp the Georgia Constitution with a concept called special grand jury.
Real quickly, special grand juries are put together usually, not always, but often, for the purpose of investigating a particular thing, the kind of thing that you're alleging, rather than, say, the average law enforcement crime. When you're talking about a corruption case, and we've seen this in counties across the state, special grand juries are impaneled because regularly appointed grand juries often don't have the time or the resources to do that.
Here's the last line of paragraph 11. And the jury shall be the judges of the law and the facts, meaning the General Assembly cannot touch a grand jury. This is a constitutional right that people have. The General Assembly, you cannot do anything else other than the authorized citizens to use a grand jury. In other words, General Assembly, get your hands off our constitutional rights to use a grand jury. And also ask yourself, why haven't the DAs, why haven't they brought this to the grand jury? Because they don't want to. You do not want to expose the truth. They're part of the cabal. All the DAs are part of the cabal to block me and my attorney from exposing what they've done with the Board of Regents. And that's the truth.
So where is your case now?
Right now it's at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and they will not even tell us when they're going to vote, but we already know how they're going to vote. They're going to say no. You know why? Because the cabal runs the courts.
Let me quickly close out education for
sure.
A moment, because you have said that you would use your influence as governor with the superintendent of the Board of Education in putting together a state curriculum. And in your words, we will supervise all books.
Right.
Doesn't that, though, contradict what you said at the very top of your education statement, which is we believe in local control of schools?
We do believe in local control of schools. What I mean is—
With the governor his influence?
Can I answer your question,
sure.
Dennis?
Sure.
Let me answer your question. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you. When I say we believe in Georgians and we believe in local control, that means I sit down with the citizens. I've talked to thousands of citizens and business owners the past 9 months, working almost 20 hours a day. And they all say, Mr. Urbeck, we want to stay in our government. I say, of course, we'll sit down and you will sit down with me and my administration, and we will select the books. We, the people of Georgia, the first branch, we will select the books. We will look at the lesson plans.
How would that work?
I sit down with my administration and expert citizens, teachers that are my friends in the high schools and universities. We sit down, we open the books, we look at the books, we decide what are the best books, and we will write the books and we will write the lesson plans. I'm an
but
expert.
How does that jive with local control when you have elected boards of education rather than a governor appointing a group of experts?
I said the people, Dennis. You're saying elected. I didn't say elected officials. I'm sitting down with the people of Georgia and my administration and my teachers in the high schools that I'm friends with and my friends that are professors in the universities. We the people. I never mentioned what you just said, something about elected officials. I work with the people of Georgia that are experts in their field in education. And we, the people of Georgia, including Governor Urbeck, we will decide what the books look like, what the lesson plans look like.
But how will you pick those people? Because you've got how many millions of folks who live in the state. You're not going to be able to hear them
all. That's a good question. That's a good question. Thank you. We have 159 counties, okay? The citizens will easily do this online. They will register to see who's going to get into that board meeting. But we're going to have many board meetings, me as Governor Urbeck, with my administration. First, we're going to go with college professors that I already know that are good, like Dr. Mary Kay Bacalo. Okay, high school teachers that I know they're good. We're going to work with the good teachers, the good principals, the good college professors, and citizens can register on the computer.
But then you're deciding who's a good teacher or college professor.
I just said anyone in the counties, Dennis, anyone can sign up to come to the meetings. We're going to have many meetings. It's not like there's going to be one shot. We'll have meetings and meetings and meetings. I'm working 20-hour days. I can multitask very well. We're going to have a lot. How about this, Dennis? There's how many congressional districts are there? 14?
14.
Then we will have 20 educational board meetings. That's an extra meetings to wrap it all up. So we'll have a meeting for each congressional district. Okay, this is common sense. Common sense will solve all of our problems here in Georgia. It'll solve our education problems and our safety problems in the schools. It'll solve our transportation problems. It'll solve our health problems and crime. Common sense, folks, put God or something above yourself so you do not commit crimes. Christians of Georgia, inspire yourself and your neighbors, and let's start loving each other. Let's start respecting each other. Let's start driving properly so we and our children and their children can live out our God-given unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because my oath to God demands that.
Currently, medical marijuana is legal in Georgia for some conditions. But people with conditions who qualify for the treatment can't get it because state law also prohibits the cultivation of the ingredients for the cannabis-based oil. So would you favor cultivation under some sort of supervision?
Yes, I favor cultivation because we know from my friends and documented evidence in the AMA and the CDC, who I've talked with, that cannabis oil not only greatly helps, but can cure certain medical problems. And I believe my house is my castle. The carrots and strawberries I grow in my backyard, I don't have cancer now, but the likelihood of me getting cancer in all Georgians when you're over 50 is very high. So I want to have people that have the freedom and liberty to grow it in their home, but not take it outside the driveway. So I am for cultivating and growing marijuana for the medicinal use that it provides.
What about for recreational use? Because if they're growing it in their backyard, how do you know how they're using it?
I believe that people have a right to freedom and liberty. I do not support recreational use because we'll turn into Colorado. But I do support your home as your castle. If I decide to grow marijuana, that's my choice, okay? But I'm not taking off my driveway and selling it. There's a huge difference here. And most people realize with common sense that alcohol and cigarettes destroy a lot more lives than the people who smoke marijuana. This is kind of, people that smoke marijuana, Dennis, they do it in their homes and they don't go driving. It's the other people that drink and smoke that cause all the accidents.
Speaking of criminal justice, would you continue Governor Deal's criminal justice reforms, or how would you extend them?
Let me say this, folks. Have you gotten a good deal with Governor Nathan Deal? I don't follow that man at all, because under Governor Urbeck, we're going to do massive criminal justice reforms and give every citizen who's arrested their due process rights, because they're being grossly violated, as I've talked to police chiefs and sheriffs and citizens whose rights are being violated. No one is going to want to get into Governor Urbeck's prisons. That's for sure. They will be mental and physical very tough. We're going to clean up Georgia. We're going to drain the swamp and clean the swamp. I'm not a politician who wants the people going into the criminal corporation system, more money for them. I am trying to inspire Georgians to put God first. If you're a Christian, put Jesus Christ first. Inspire your neighbors to stop committing crimes in the first place so we don't have to raise our taxes and provide all these monies for the criminal corporations. It's called jails.
So are you saying that scripture, as important as it is the answer to crime?
Yes, a person's heart and mind and soul can stop the crime. It's not, the Bible is the book of life. President John Adams said the Bible is the best book in the world. It contains more of my little philosophy than all the libraries I have seen. Now, we had leaders in the founding mother and founding father generation, and also in the 1800s. This is unacceptable how the politicians, career politicians, and fake lying conservatives, all they call for is programs, band-aiding the problem. I am a statesman and a leader. I want to stop the problem at a person's heart, mind, and soul so they don't commit crime in the first place and our taxes go down.
But doesn't that mean, then, the state having some role in promoting religion? And that brings us right to the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Right. And my book is called Believe. Do We Need a Third Great Awakening? Quite possibly the best book on the concept of separation church and state. Our religious freedoms of freedom from the federal government. It's been read by members of Congress and 400 Americans. I do not shy away from being a Christian. My Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, and my friend is the Holy Ghost, and that's the way it goes. And as Governor Urbach, I will inspire all citizens to use their religious freedom from the federal government to practice their religion the way they see fit. See, the ACLU is done. We will sue them together because their persecution, discrimination, and lawsuits against Christians mostly is going to end today on Governor Urbach's first day because it's illegal what the Supreme Court did. That's the thing. People don't understand what the Supreme Court did starting in 1947, removing our religious freedoms was done illegally. And my book proves it with Justice Hugo Black. So let's get it right.
We're talking, though, about the difference between freedom to practice religion and the state of Georgia, say, under your administration, saying we have a religious text that says our religious text is what is going to govern your heart and prevent crime. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
And what you just said, Dennis, the first word is what again? The first word is Congress, correct? Georgia is Georgia, right?
But you were just talking earlier about the federal constitution and how important it is. So doesn't the federal constitution apply to Georgia?
Yeah, we have the Bill of Rights, remember?
Yes.
And the Bill of Rights protects the people in the states from the federal government. From the federal government. Here's the wall, Dennis. It's real simple, folks. It's real simple. This is the God's honest truth. As you've been told a lie, the lie the past 60 years of the concept of a wall of separation between church and state. The wall is right here, Dennis. The federal government's on my left over here, and the states and the people are on the right. That's where the wall is. The federal government cannot come into a state and tell the people of a state and the government of a state how to conduct their religious affairs. Under Governor Urbach's administration, all citizens will be able to practice freely their freedom of religion. I will not bring down any heavy hand to bring forth my religion, my Christianity, on the people. All I will do as a leader is inspire people to believe in God. And if they don't, everything's optional. See, I'm not forcing anyone to do anything because as a governor, I cannot force any citizen to accept Christianity. I cannot force any citizen to accept the Bible. All I can do is say my personal religion is what I believe in. And I believe in Georgians. And I know and believe the truth that we've been fed a lie. This concept called the misinterpretation or the modern interpretation of a wall of separation between church and state is a massive lie. And my book proves it, and Justice Stephen Breyer knows the truth.
A number of your Republican opponents, not all of them, but most of them, said they would sign a so-called religious freedom bill should it make it through the state legislature. Did you pledge to do that?
No, because that bill will weaken the state's rights and the people's rights, and it will weaken the United States Constitution. We need the truth.
So how would the RFRA bill, as it's called, particularly the federal language, limit the state's rights to do that?
I have not read every word of the RFRA bill, but my experts on my team have, and they say it greatly weakens the people and states' rights of freedom of religion. Let's focus on the First Amendment that was given to us by our founding mothers and founding fathers. That's the key. If we focus on the Constitution, we're golden.
Real quickly on hope.
Okay.
You've talked about finding money through the state university system and other places, say in the state budget. Would that go partly, at least, to the Hope Scholarship Program?
Yes and no, because the Hope Scholarship was enacted by legislation. I have to follow that legislation. First of all, I have to read the legislation because I haven't read all these bills that these boys and girls...
Well, it's funded by the lottery.
That's true. That's true. Where there's a will, there's a way. And personally, I'm going to say this. We can do all things through Jesus Christ, Christians. And Jews can do all things through the Torah. And good citizens can do all things through transparency. As your governor, Governor Urbach will show the people full transparency. Every document will be put on the Governor Urbach's website so the people can see exactly. because it's already there. See, the General Assembly, all the forms are there. They will not show it to the people. I will show you full transparency, how we will raise funds, how we will move monies from one agency to another to properly provide our unalienable rights for our children and their children, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness here in Georgia.
So are you saying you would favor spending some money, whether it's through the lottery or something else, to expand hope?
I favor allocating the monies honestly, truthfully, and let's find out where this misappropriations is, and we can move it from where it's being misappropriated and lied to us about into where it should be going for the future of our children. I just want to say one thing. Students of America, the government does not owe you anything. You owe yourself and your parents to get smart with work and hard work and focus on the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and let's get it done for the students.
The state legislature recently adjourned without passing a bill that would require local jurisdictions to work with federal authorities on immigration when people are arrested. So would you push for that as governor?
Governor Urbeck believes in working with President Trump. We will work together to eliminate crime in Georgia, and the citizens of Georgia, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. If you violate the law, you're going to jail, and then you'll get your due process rights. And I'll work with the federal government to reduce crime, and the criminals will be put in Governor Urbeck's prisons where they will not want to go. We're going to stop this cabal of the prison corporation machine.
But on immigration, would you push for a bill, the one that didn't pass through the legislature, that would say when someone is arrested, the local authorities have to work with the feds as soon as they're arrested?
No.
On their
we are Georgians
status.
And we are Georgia, and we take care of our criminals the way Governor Urbeck and the people of Georgia see fit. I will still work with the feds, but they're not involved with criminals in Georgia. See, I believe in states' rights. I believe in people's rights. I believe in the 10th Amendment to the United States, the Constitution. And more importantly, or just as importantly, I believe in common sense law, which is the second level of law here in America and the world. Georgia criminals or criminals that are involved here in Georgia, they will go through the Georgia system, not the federal government. But of course, when it comes time to working with President Trump under ICE issues and those types of issues, of course I'll work with the president. I'm talking people that violate laws like felonies and murder and robberies and things like that. That's local.
But would you do that upon arrest, or would you do that after someone is convicted?
When an immigrant breaks the law, whether they're legal or illegal, they're an immigrant. Okay, they just got here. Okay, let's just say they just got here. Okay, they break the law. They're going straight to the sheriff, the police department. That sheriff has an oath to God to do it, to follow due process rights. So does the police agency. They have common sense, and they better use it, or they're going to be fired. We don't need to contact the federal government when someone breaks the law. Okay, if they're illegal, now that brings up another answer. Okay, we'll deal with the illegals properly through law, not through people's opinion of the law.
Throughout this campaign, though, you've staked out positions and you put them forward here and in debates that don't just criticize but even blast some people in both major parties.
Correct.
So how can you work with a legislature as governor? Because even as governor, you're only one branch of government, and most of that legislation has to get passed, even if you propose it, by a whole bunch of people that you've criticized.
It's a great question. These General Assembly representatives are going to start to represent the people, and they're turning. They're on board with me verbally. They haven't said it out loud verbally, but I will sit down with any representative who takes their oath to God honestly. They can drop the R and put an A. They can drop the D and put an A. We're all Americans. We're all Georgians. I will work with them. I'm already working with them. David Schaefer's praying for me. A lot of representatives are praying for me because of what I've put my neck out, okay, with this legal case.
And so David Schaefer, just to clarify, yeah, is a state senator who's running for lieutenant governor. Endorsed you?
No, I earn endorsements. I earn votes. I earn donations. I've only gotten like 15 checks, and I only started asking for money about a month ago. But I am working with the state representatives. I have criticized them, some of them, because rightly so. They deserve to be criticized greatly. But I'm working with the good representatives. Good representatives, Buzz Brockaway, David Raffensperger, David Schaefer are my friends. I have a lot of friends down there. I have a lot of friends in the General Assembly. It's the people with the N, negativism, that have maybe not said things about me.
If you win the nomination and become governor, win the general election, you've already said you don't just follow something that Governor Deal did. But are there some things of his that you would continue and others that you would say, oh, that was Governor Deal's thing, it's not mine?
The good thing that Governor Deal did is he followed President Trump and he lowered taxes. I believe in people keeping the fruits of their labor. They should keep their salary as much as possible. No more of the government sucking up your money, stealing your money, and they give it to your friends. So, Governor Deal, thank you for following President Trump's lead. And as Governor Urbach, we will cut taxes, lower taxes, reduce programs. I am the most anti-establishment candidate possibly in the history of Georgia, fighting for the people of Georgia.
And something of his that you would say, okay, I'm not going to continue that initiative.
I will not continue Governor Deal's cabal. I will not maintain this oligarchy in the government. Governor Deal has decisions to make. He can either help Team Urbach, legal team, get to the grand jury, or he will go down in history as part of the oligarchy, unindicted felons that will not allow my attorney and me from getting to the grand jury for the people of Georgia.
But should the primary not go the way you want, would you endorse the eventual winner of the Republican primary, no matter who it is?
It's a good question. Folks, I like to say, and this is where I'm getting my southern twang, we're going to have a Texas shootout, Georgia style. It's a two-man race. Senator Michael Williams and statesman Mark Urbach. I say that because Michael Williams has more guts and the other people are way, way, way in the swamp. The only thing I have against Michael is in the private meeting. I told him how he could use the grand jury. He's done nothing. Brian P. Kemp has violated his oath with my letter. It's on my website pertaining to Hillary Rodham Clinton. As she violated federal law, Brian P. Kemp did nothing. Casey Cagle is so corrupt, it's ridiculous. Okay, I call him Casey Country Club Chicken Cagle. Okay, Hunter Hills, you know, he sponsored SB 68, 100% of taxpayer money of Common Core, the private schools, and then he said no on the transparency bill. This is gonna be a Georgia shootout. So, Michael Williams, God bless you and your family. Get your Bible. Michael Williams, Senator, statesman Mark Urbach, it's a two man race. Georgians, thank you so much. We are Georgians and we are Georgia, and we will succeed beyond all expectations with Governor Urbach.
If I hear you correctly, you sound like you're saying some of them, but not all of them, would get an endorsement from you.
Only support and endorse Michael Williams if he wins.
He'd be okay. The only one of your opponents.
But right now, it's going to go down to only two men who have the courage to speak out the truth. That's me, for sure, as a statesman, Mark Urbach. God willing, God wills it, will be your next governor, the 83rd governor of Georgia, or Michael Williams. It's a two-man race, folks. Again, it's going to be a Texas shootout, Georgia style. Get your Bibles, get your tickets, get your cowboy hats. It's Senator Michael Williams versus statesman Mark Urbach, the other oligarchs and career politicians and fake lying conservatives. You guys pack your bags and go back to the holes you came from.
That was my interview with Republican Mark Urbach, one of the candidates trying to win his party's nomination to run for Georgia governor. Now, at this point, we have interviewed all of the candidates in parties that have competitive primary elections this May, at least all of the candidates we could contact. We did contact Republican Eddie Hayes, but we never heard back from him. So check out our podcast feed for all of those interviews, and don't forget to subscribe for more nourishing conversation all about Georgia politics. And you can do that on your favorite podcast app. I'm Dennis O'Hare. I'll be back in your feed soon with more Political Breakfast.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.